Adam's Rampage is now in session.
Not going to come too direct or too mean on topic today. I actually want to talk about communicating in relationships. I see a lot of people trying to communicate in relationships. Frankly, I don't think a lot of people really understand how much they're showing people their communication in public. And I'm talking about those relationship communications, not just talking to strangers. I'm specifically talking relationships here. And it can be tricky talking about communication. There's all kinds of books and talks and speakers, et cetera, out there talking about the proper ways of communication and how you're supposed to talk to certain people and certain personality types, and you're a this language and you're a that language and this is how you talk. There's so much out there. And look, if I had all of the right answers, or everyone else did, there wouldn't be so many books on relationships, okay? So nobody has the right answer for every relationship or happiness and love in general. So just think about that when you're listening to people, including myself, give you tips about relationships or what makes people happy or what the keys to long-lasting marriages are, et cetera. We've all heard them all, right? Opposites attract, but don't last. Find somebody that likes what you like. Find somebody that's has the same values you do. There's all kinds of tips. I've heard them all, from make sure you have compassion, chemistry, and compatibility. Make sure the person you're with is your best friend. Make sure, you know, they're into what you're into. I've even heard advice from a very long marriage the longest marriage I know together. And their advice was not to have the same interests and to actually have opposite interests, because then you can still keep your own life. And if you choose to share those with one another, you can. So I say all this in just to remind the listeners, you, myself, even, that there is no one way to make a relationship last. And I'll tell you, there's no one way to communicate in a relationship. Look, there's no one nutritional plan. There's no one exercise plan. So for someone to think that there's one relationship map, I think is silly and does not take into account the individual nature of what we've all experienced, what we've all been through, and how we all perceive life. We all perceive life a little differently, and some a lot differently. So to get back to the communication part of relationships, I'm going to start with going back to the beginning of your relationship, back when you started your relationship. See, a lot of times what we're actually doing as the relationship goes on is we're losing trust for ourselves. We're actually losing trust for our own choice that we made. And what we like to do is blame the other person for either changing or becoming someone else or not changing, right? So one, I don't suggest starting a relationship if you hope to change the person or if you hope they will change, that these are not ways to approach a relationship, or if you think marriage will change the person, or especially if you think having a kid will better the relationship. For the love of God, please don't do that. Having a kid and getting married does not make a shitty relationship better, okay? Maybe it has for one or two people, et cetera. I can't argue that fact because I said there is no one way. But please don't start a marriage and have kids if the relationship is not ready, if you're not healthy. Don't use it as a way to keep a relationship going or think that it'll bring somebody closer or change their lives, that you're doing detriment to the kid. But so go back to the beginning of the relationship, right? One time, you trusted yourself. You made a choice to be with this person. You said, okay, either yes to the question about, you know, being a relationship, or you asked the person to be in the relationship. So you made this choice a long time ago. So, or a short time ago, doesn't have to be a long time ago. And as time starts to wear on, maybe you find yourself getting more aggravated at the person, annoyed at the person, or whatever. You know, my mom told me a long time ago, and I found that she was correct, that the same reason we fall in love with people ends up being the same things that we're annoyed at them for later in life. we meet them and, you know, sometimes they're everything we're not, sometimes they're everything we are. And then after a while, we start to forget about those things that were attractive to us and they start to become annoying. So first, keep in mind that at the beginning of this, you actually made the choice. You chose this person. And so there's got to be some credit in the choice that you made. Now, fast forward into a predicament or a problem or an argument or whatever that transpires in the relationship. Well, first off, when people begin to talk, right? I think it's kind of funny sometimes how two people can be sitting on a couch, have nowhere to go, nothing to do, frankly, both of them bored probably. And it's just another night just hanging out. And you can go from doing nothing, hanging out with nowhere to go, almost instantly to this tense, uncomfortable situation or argument to where neither one of you can even get a word in, as if time is ticking over your head and soon you will run out of time and you have to get all of your words in before they get a word in. How does that happen? How do you go from sitting on the couch with nothing to do, nothing but time to kill, to you can't even pause for 2 seconds to let somebody talk? That's called fear. See, fear causes this urgency, right? I like to talk about when two people are communicating. At any given moment, two people communicating is like a exchange of top secret beliefs, right? We're going to sit here and I'm talking to you, but when we talk, right, we talk in what we believe, in what we believe at our core or our concrete beliefs, right? They come out in our expectations and assumptions that we talk about, right? So we push off those assumptions, we push off those expectations. And anyway, when these two people or you or someone else, the person you're in a relationship with, start to communicate, try to assume that off the beginning, that this is an exchange of top secret information, AKA beliefs, right? And so it's got to be handled with care. That's how people communicate, right? If you don't think beliefs have a big deal, talk about two people and just compare what football team is the best. Let the Seminoles and the Gators go at it for a while, right? Let the Cowboys and Giants talk about it for a while. Find those arch rival fans and let them start to talk for 2 seconds about their beliefs about who's the better team. How long does it take before somebody's yelling, somebody's screaming, somebody's just, right? It doesn't take long. It's because you're exchanging beliefs, right? And beliefs are very sensitive to us. Beliefs are wisdom that we've gained, right? You've had past experiences in life that have caused influence, emotional memories, and actual memories, right, have been caused in your life. And so these create our beliefs. This is why we feel so passionate about what it is we believe inside, even though, left side footnote, there is no truth, okay? There is only what you perceive as truth. So start there. So, you know, when we start to exchange these beliefs, it can get really sensitive, okay? And so the other thing is if someone, and we're talking relationships here too, so I'll try to keep it specific to there, but I branched out a little bit on my last rampage, but if we're starting to talk with somebody and exchange these beliefs, if this person or this person I start a relationship with expresses a belief that's opposite of mine, well, they didn't piss you off, they didn't annoy you, and they're not stupid. They have a different perception than you, okay? They're entitled to this perception just as you are entitled to your perception as well. So I like to tell people, if you think people that are in front of you are stupid or are acting dumb or are mean or just don't have their life right, I like to tell people the quickest way to indifference or into apathy is through empathy, right? So if you could put yourself in their shoes, if you will, if you were wired like they were, had experienced life like they had, then you may believe as they believe, and downright, you may be fucking worse. So if you had experienced life like them or wired like them, well, you may be just like them or worse. So starting there is a good place to begin when someone starts to challenge a belief that you have, okay? So now this person that you're talking to states a belief that is opposite yours. What that does is that automatically challenges almost your entire life up to date, because you've been living a certain way under a certain belief for so long this concrete belief. Sometimes we believe it's who we are. So when a person, especially a person we've chosen to be in a relationship with, goes against this belief, well, they devalue you at face front, if you understand what I mean. Because they have either chose to live a life that's opposite to your belief, or just plainly take a different belief than you, maybe what had just happened 20 minutes ago. She sees it one way, you see it another way. So you start talking about basically comparing whose memory's better, right? As if there was a stenotypist in the room from the courtroom hearing. And you could go back to it and go, oh no, you said this 10 minutes ago, right? We start arguing about whose memory is better because of this fear, this urgency that automatically starts to hit us. It's why you start to get so upset when someone challenges your belief, right? So they have a concrete belief, you have a concrete belief, you two exchange this confidential, sensitive information, and it challenges one another's beliefs. Well, this becomes scary, like I said, because now if they've been able to live this way their whole life, if they can now say this or believe that, well, then that challenges the way I've lived and believed and lived my life up to date. And forgive the lawnmower in the background that my awesome microphone is picking up on. That's why I hate the fucking suburbs, man. Everybody mows their fucking yard all at the same time. It's fucking weird. Everybody gets up at like the same time and starts the mower and starts doing it. All right, I'm going off on a tangent. So this person has those beliefs. You have these beliefs. And here's where the fear starts to get worse. Not only is this person challenged your life almost to date or your belief to date, well, now they may have proved you wrong, that maybe you made a poor decision long ago or a short time ago to make them a part of your life or to start a relationship with them. See, that makes it even more scary. Because when you made that commitment a long time ago or a short time ago, you trusted yourself and you felt something with this person. I would argue that you thought something, because I argue no one makes us angry and no one makes us happy. Our thoughts about what they're doing create that perception or feeling for us. So it's easier just to say they make us happy, when the way they behave or the way they treat us causes us to think certain ways. And these thoughts create a perception, or thus the feeling, that this person makes you happy. All right, I know that's hard to grab because we just have feelings, right? But to go back to the communication part. So I'm going to step back. It's you and a stranger in the street. They believe something totally opposite and they shout it, live it, or express it. You feel this urgency or this rush because they've challenged your belief up front. That devalues you from the beginning, because they're essentially, by living that belief, telling that belief, et cetera, they're telling you that the way you believe is wrong. And so this is when people get angry, offensive. This is when they get defensive, right? They attack these people. Pick your fucking topic. I don't care if it's gay marriage, legalization, money in politics, God in the school. You pick it. If you challenge those beliefs, two people adamantly get so angry. This is where all this social anger comes from, is because people are just challenging one another's beliefs and devaluing each other. Footnote, I would argue the fact that if you get that defensive and offensive when someone else chooses to believe differently than you, I would argue that perhaps you don't believe as solidly as you think you do. Otherwise, it would not shake you to your core as much as it does when people choose to be different or believe different than you. So that's the macro level in a relationship, and relationships, passerby, strangers, social media, etc. So shrinking that back into a micro level of the into a micro view of the relationship itself. So not only when there's an exchange of beliefs do you have the typical challenge of belief, urgency, and fear that builds. Now you have to couple this idea that this is somebody you may have chosen to spend your life with, forsaken all others. And now this person is expressing a belief that challenges your own belief, and they're supposed to love you. See, this is why the urgency in that fear feels so much stronger than just someone in the street or your neighbor or a guy online. That's why family drama feels so much more. Why? Why do relationships and family relationships, why does that exchange or disagreement of beliefs feel worse than another? I'll tell you why. not only is it the typical devaluing and challenging your own life or beliefs up to date up front, mixed with the idea that they're closer to your life, it's something that I call expectations and assumptions. Expectations and assumptions are destroyers of relationships. You see, we have expectations of our family. We have expectations of our new relationships, our marriages, our daughters, our sons, our mothers, our brothers. See, we have these expectations. These expectations are set up on assumptions, right? Are set up on what we believe. So we have these beliefs about what a relationship should be, what a brother should be, what a mother should be, what a wife or husband should be, right? So we and sons and daughters, we have this expectations of what they should be. We base or create these expectations based on our own beliefs. We have a belief about what a relationship is, means, does, what a mom, husband, father, son, daughter acts like. So those beliefs, how we've chosen to live our lives up to date, get challenged. Someone has now challenged our expectation or assumptions. They have challenged our beliefs. So when this person does not fulfill your expectation of what you think something should be, I would call that shooting all over yourself, you therefore start to make assumptions, right? Is this person for me? Am I really happy? Are they stupid? Are they changing? Are they acting like somebody they're not? Is this going to get worse? How are we going to make it? Are they ever going to change? Right? These are the assumptions we start to make based on expectations that we have that are rooted in core concrete beliefs about what we think people should be or should do or how they should treat us. You see, we enforce our own expectations and then create assumptions to back up our own irrational thinking from the beginning. And then what do? You always make me angry. You always make me mad. You always fuck up our relationship, right? This is the bullshit you start to hear because it's much easier to blame the other person than self-reflect on our own aggressions of enforcing our own fucking beliefs and expectations on what someone else should be and do for us. See, these are determinant words. These are rational words. Should, supposed to, must, woulda, coulda, should've, have to, never, always. These are all irrational words. They don't always do that to you. If they did, they'd have to do it 86,400 seconds a day. That would be always doing it to you, whatever it is you blame them for always doing to you. It's not true. But you use language like determinant words and awfulizing words like you always do this to me to use dialogue or thoughts to reinforce your initial feelings. And remember, your initial feelings were that of fear and urgency, remember, because they challenged how you believe. This person now challenged what you believe and how you've lived to date, even if it's as simple as who's the best football team. You now force your own expectations and assumptions onto this person because now they've hurt you or you found a way to think that they disrespected you somehow. I mean, truly what's happened is there's been a breakdown of humility and there's been an enforcement of expectations and assumptions. You begin to force your expectations on and assumptions onto them about what they should be, should do, or should be saying, or could have said. They could do the same to you. They could argue back to you that, well, you should have said this, or you wouldn't do this if you loved me, right? Because both people feel that fear or that urgency when beliefs are challenged, then it's questioned back that, hey, man, I chose this person and they chose me in some relationship and now they're not being this certain way. That adds more fear and urgency on top of just the typical when they challenge your belief. And then you throw your expectations and assumptions of what this person should do in a relationship or what you expect a family member to do, and then when they don't do that, they don't fulfill your expectation. Then you start dropping assumptions. Again, your own dialogue, you start assuming things. Those assumptions are more thoughts, creating more feelings of perpetuating instability and more reasons to blame them for why you just don't know how to fucking communicate. And them either. See, when we communicate, like I said, about the top secret information, it's not so much the specific details of he said or she said about what happened that's going to help. See, there's a reason they say the devils are in the details. The devil's in the details. If you find yourself nitpicking in an argument in someone, in a relationship you're in, pause for a moment and just repeat the mantra, the devil's in the details. If you find yourself in a relationship and you're starting to argue as if there's a stenotypist in the courtroom, you can refer back to the comments of your partner. You're paying attention to the details. You're missing the big picture. If it's about this happened and you said and she said and on Tuesday we went over here and because that happened, you are way fucking lost in the details. You are so fucking caught up that you want to perpetuate your own drama because you think the way you feel is fucking fact. And understand that feelings are not facts. Just because you feel it doesn't make it so. See, you think it to feel it. Once you think it, then you create the feeling. Then you have the feeling. Then rather than question your own feelings as being possible a bad perception or a rational perception, you check off the box as if these feelings are exactly how I'm supposed to feel. You hear my word? Supposed to feel. And then we continue to create more dialogue to back up how it is we initially felt, because we don't want to be wrong. See, being wrong becomes the ultimate can't be in the urgency of belief discussion. See, we can't be wrong when essentially both people are wrong and both people are right, because truth is perception. How they perceived it and how you perceived it is both right. Both of you have a right to your perception and a right to how you feel. But like most people, we begin to make irrational statements of fact as if our feelings are truly truth and the only truth. If what you're saying is starting to end in periods and exclamation points and using words like always and never, well, then you are the one talking irrational. When you can start changing your punctuation from statements of definitive truth to questions, now you're walking down the right communication path. People can't fix what they don't know is broken. So for you to perpetuate a feeling of emotional discomfort by continuing to make statements about what they did to you, what they are doing to you, and how they hurt you, or how they disrespected you, not hurt you. These are statements of fact that we're backing up an emotion with. But when we can question ourselves, why did I let that hurt my feelings? Why do I think I should feel upset because of that? See, these are self-reflecting questions, not statements and accusations blaming other people for why we can't get our fucking perception right. See, so when you start to communicate with somebody, like I said, we're starting in the beginning, it's about asking the right question. See, I talked a while ago on another old rampage of mine when I was talking about love and people that are in love, and they ask the same wrong questions. Do I stay? Do I go? Am I in love? Am I not? See, these are the wrong questions. The question is, are you happy? See, if you're asking if I'm in love or should I stay or should I go, these are subjective and can change at any given moment. So you're asking a obscure question on purpose because you don't want to make a choice and you're avoiding what you know to be right anyway. So it's about asking the right question in communication and using the right punctuation, while being able to remain humble in the fact they're allowed to have their own beliefs and perceptions about what it is you did or they experienced. That's our love and open free right here in this sort of free country. So try to keep in mind about asking the right question. What's that right question? I'm going to give you an example to talk about briefly that urgency or that fear that comes in, right? What happens is, I like to say that anger is not real. I like to say that anger is merely a symptom. It's just a symptom of something that's truly going on inside, right? Anger is a defense mechanism. It's an emotion. It's a symptom. So how do we get to that anger? So you get to that anger, I'll back all the way up, is because they challenged a belief you have, which devalued possibly your life to date and what you believe inside and what you believe your future is. They challenge that belief, that creates an insecurity, When they challenge that belief, they devalue you. Now you have to turn to your expectations about what they should have done, should have said, or should be. You start to cast those expectations out in assumptions using periods and exclamation points. Once you move from those assumptions, you start to forget that possibly they're allowed to have a different perception than you as well. And then as it moves further into the challenge of beliefs, the spewing of assumptions, the loss of humility, then the enforcing of your own beliefs onto this person, and the fear has festered into anger. And then we show anger in various ways. There's anger in those that scream and yell, and there's anger in those that become quiet, because that's passive aggressive, when you don't say anything or you run away, right? There's a different ways to express anger. But anger, this symptom, has built up somehow. It got there somehow, and it got there through fear, right? Here's the example. If I have a big, mean, nasty dog in the corner, and three of us start to close in on that big, mean, nasty, rabid-looking dog or whatever, if we start to close in on that dog, what's it start doing? Right? It's growling. It's growling. It looks really, 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 really angry. But what is it? It's afraid. That's right. The dog is afraid. If we get closer and closer to this dog that's afraid, eventually it snaps in anger, right? It snaps at you in a defense. Well, humans react the same way. See, the reason I like to argue that anger is just a symptom, I'll do it on a biological example. What happens to your body physically when you're afraid? Your heart rate goes up, right? You start sweating, etc., right? Well, what happens when you get angry? The same physiological reaction happens. We just have two different words for it. You make me angry, I'm angry, and these are the wrong words. Anger is not manageable. So as I just walked you through kind of the beginning up to the middle and to the point of the communication when the anger starts to drop in, and it's about asking the right question. If you feel the fear and the urgency beginning to build and build and build and build, understand that it's only because your beliefs are being challenged by a person that you thought would believe as you do and you think should love a certain way. That is you casting out expectations and beliefs. That is you making yourself upset through your own dialogue. Anger, telling them why you're angry, this is not the question. The question you have to ask is, how am I hurt and what am I afraid of? These two questions will help you communicate in a relationship when the urgency starts to build up and it seems like too much. If you ask these two questions to one another or to yourself and then exchange them to one another, you can talk about things that are manageable. Emotions are only manageable through dialogue. Anger is not a manageable emotion. You have to stop yourself before you get to the anger and control the building of urgency. So the communication really happens and starts to transpire truly when you start to communicate with each other how you are hurt and what you are afraid of. But see, in relationships, it's very difficult for people to admit what they're afraid of because they're afraid to be vulnerable. But love is vulnerable. That's what communication is about. It's about being vulnerable, being open to the idea your perception could be wrong and theirs could be right. And they have a right to believe as they believe. And if you were wired like they were, experienced life like they have, then you may believe just as they believe. Hell, you may be worse. So start with the humility. Ask yourself, how am I hurt and what am I afraid of? Avoid the details. Talk about what's real. Talk about what hurt and talk about what you're afraid of. This has been the Cognitive Rampage. Hope you're taking care of you.
Hey, I want you to check out another podcast that I listen to with two friends of mine. That's my buddy Chris Fisher and his friend Jesse Cage in the FNK podcast. You can catch them at fisherandcage.com, but look them up on iTunes. They're a great podcast. I love listening to the fellas each week, but that's the F&K podcast.